Hello, this is Julia Firmenich, and today we'll be discussing Vietnam's views regarding neocolonialism, climate change and development, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. We will begin with neocolonialism. Vietnam has experienced over 1,000 years of colonization from China and France, and although Vietnam was never fully colonized by the United States, Vietnam receives the most exploitation from them in the workplace. The U.S. uses Vietnamese workers for cheap labor or outsourcing. Outsourcing is the physical separation of some economic activities from the main production facility, usually for the purpose of employing cheaper labor. This is explained by the dependency ratio, the notion that resources flow from a periphery or poor and underdeveloped states to a core or wealthy states, enriching the latter at the expense of the former. It is a central contention of dependency theory that poor states are impoverished and rich ones enriched by the ways poor states are integrated into the world system. Their cheap labor supports American corporations because they are receiving cheaper labor than they would from internal workers. From imperialism until the 1980s, most of the country's population were impoverished. In 1986, there was a political and economic reform in hopes of improving the country's economy. This reform granted Vietnamese businesses more autonomy and bureaucracy and decreased their subsidies. With this movement, the economy was immensely improved and poverty was reduced. However, they still needed more help from the outside world. So in 1987, the investment law opened their economy to international trade, and they have been improving ever since. Their foreign relations with core countries have assisted them in rising to be a semi-periphery country from being a periphery country. However, as they grow to be more developed, it is better for them to become more self-reliant, as that is one of their main goals. It was necessary for them to sacrifice some sovereignty in the past 30 years in order to better their economy, because an improved economy allows them to be more sovereign. Neocolonialism that core countries use Vietnam for bring periphery countries to higher development. These large corporations are paying laborers far more than Vietnamese minimum wage, which reduces their poverty and spurs both economic and political development. Now moving on to climate change and development. Vietnam is a strong advocate for climate change. They signed the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change in 1992, then ratified it in 1994, signed the Kyoto Protocol in 1998, then ratified it in 2002, and has submitted all necessary reports to the UNFCCC Secretariat on Greenhouse Gases Inventories and Climate Change Preventative Efforts. They've also reinforced building infrastructure in coastal zones, preventing the soil erosion and modernizing cultivation and stock breeding techniques, and integrating sustainable water source development planning and water infrastructure have all helped remedy damage caused by the climate. The Vietnam Clean Energy Efficiency Program, led by the U.S. Agency for International Development, has also partnered with the government of Vietnam to promote high-performance green energy buildings, which is predicted to lower the amount of greenhouse gas emissions in Vietnam by 19 million tons. With all this initiative, Vietnam still feels strongly about preventing climate change from getting any worse. The Democratic Republic of Congo has the potential to be one of the most successful countries with their abundant supply of natural resources. However, corrupt leaders and war have stifled their progress. In 1996, Rwanda and Uganda invaded the DRC and overthrew their leader and replaced him with Laurent Désiré Kabila. Once in power, he rid it of the Congo's protective troops. Then, in 1998, Rwanda and Uganda overthrew Kabila in his rule. This war spread to many other African countries and left the Democratic Republic of Congo devastated. Later, analyzation from the UN concluded that wars were fueled by the desire for the Democratic Republic of Congo's natural resources. In the violent fight for these resources, there have been many more casualties than the Vietnam War. Vietnam has had a similar struggle in that of the Vietnam War, but to a far lesser extent. They have not shown much direct involvement with the Democratic Republic. However, they are part of a group of countries that is. This group is the United Nations, and they have stationed their second largest peacekeeping mission in Congo. Despite their efforts, the Congo is still struggling with war. Still today, 9 in 10 people in the Democratic Republic of Congo are in need of urgent humanitarian assistance. To get Congo back on its feet will take long-term dedication and also assistance from other countries, but they must work from the inside out. First, they need a strong leader that can stay in office long enough for them to progress. Once they achieve solid political leadership, they could ask the UN for more donations or export their resources. These changes are definitely far-fetched and will probably take a long time to achieve, but that does not mean that progress for the Congo is unattainable. Time we have today for our podcast on Vietnam's involvement in global issues and development. This is Julia Firmenich, and thank you for listening.